Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. And I mean that too. Good morning. Beautiful day. Just nice to be up and moving around and alive and knowing that, oh, God has spared us for another day. That is, it's awesome. Don't take that lightly. Because there's a lot of people that was here yesterday that's not here today. And that, you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. If you're in Christ, you're celebrating with God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. But in the meantime, for all of us that are here today, we've got to realize there's a purpose for us being here. We're not just here to do the same thing we did yesterday or last week or last year, you know, even last night. We're here to grow. We're here to prosper. We're here to serve the Lord. What is it, God, that you would have me to do for you this day? Keep in mind, you're made with a purpose in mind, with a purpose that's built inside of you. And I think sometimes we forget that. We think that we are our own. We think that we belong to ourselves. But whoever made you is your creator. And whoever's your creator, you belong to them. It's very simple. Very simple. You bake a cake. You could say, this is my cake. I bake it. I know all the ingredients I put in it. And sometimes people will bake a cake and say, boy, this cake is so, so good. Girl, I need the recipe to this. And people don't want to give you the recipe because what? They love it when you say, I like this. How did you fix this? And even if you gave them every ingredient to it, they'll still come back and say, it's just like it was something missing. I don't know what it was. I put everything in it like you said, but it didn't taste like yours. Because every creation is unique. There's no duplication in creations. You can get very close to some things, but you can never do it exactly the way that the Creator created it to be. You can't. Colonel Sanders' recipe is his recipe. People go there for the chicken because it has that special recipe that probably locked up in a vault somewhere. And even with there are labs that can duplicate recipes right on down to every ingredient that's in it and the measurement of it. That's how they can take a recipe and duplicate it and sell whatever product it is. But even at that, you cannot do it exactly the way that the Creator did it. You can never recreate what has been created. That, let's just put it that way. And it will never be exactly the same. Very close, but not exactly the same. And that's the same with us. We are close in a lot of different ways. We're built and created by the same creator. But he did not. Every creation is and are unique and has its own purpose, which makes up the body of Christ, which makes up the will of God, which makes up the pleasures that he intended to get from us. Yet, we deny him the pleasure of what he created us to be and do, and give him back the joy. Can you imagine? He created us to get pleasure. Like, you know, some people are funny, and when God created you to give you that sense of humor, then what happens? He laughs. He said, "Laughter is good for the soul." You know me. He laughs because I created you because I know you would make me laugh. He created some people that just got a heart to love and to care and to help. And I mean, we all got our own little things that we're created to do. And God gets pleasure out of it when we do it. He gets no pleasure when he created you to dance, yet you don't dance. You can do a lot of other things, but he created you to get pleasure because he made you a ballerina. He made you a boogie time girl. But the world says, you shouldn't do that because you're a Christian. But who gave you the idea? Who gave you the ability? And then you ask yourself why. Back in the day, the kings had jesters. They had people to come in and made them laugh. They had people to do all kinds of things to entertain them. Because those people were unique and gifted and talented in their ways. And we get the same type of pleasure. We like to go to concerts. We like to watch movies, you know, Spielberg, you know, and different ones, Tyler Perry, you name them, that have movies out, because what? It was gifted in them to be able to create from that platform, to give pleasure, not only to God, but to all of us. We get pleasure when we do what we are created to do. So, all I'm saying to you today, look back and see what it is that you're designed to do, and give God his pleasure. He's waiting on you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? How are you guys?
Doing good. I'm doing good. Getting some feedback from somebody. I don't know what it is. But anyway, that was something that the Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning. It's about pleasure and creating and doing what we are created to do. You know, time is moving so fast, ladies. And you'd hate to keep saying that because it just seems like now I'm looking at Thanksgiving next week. I was in a place yesterday coming out of a store and then, Angie, I went to lunch. A happy holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. And where you go, I was like, my goodness, this just doesn't seem real. It's just like it popped right up. But anyway, that's my little spiel this morning. How was your week, Deborah?
My week was good. The regular stuff going on. It seems to be a little more calmer. I just enjoy, when I could do what I do, and I don't have to, put a whole lot of energy in it, because the older I get, the less I can, my, you know what I mean? I ain't as youthful. So my steps are a little slower. So I get tired faster. So I'm learning how to pace myself and age gracefully, if I may say that. And, you know, it was just a good week to be able to just flow into what was required of me. All is well. Seen Mom twice this week, so, you know, that was some extra work on me. I had to talk them sweet potatoes up the steps for, you know, she had bags of them, you know what I mean? So she said, "You tired? You look tired." I said, "I'm all right, Mom. I ain't going to let her know I'm tired, no." So it was a good week. Praise the Lord. And you heard the background noise. I apologize. They having a festivity across the street at the park, and so they setting up. And I said, "Well, it looked like I'm gonna have to go in the room, because when you say you heard it," I said, "Yeah, let me go in the room." So that's what's going on.
No. It wasn't noise on the outside. It was a squeaking in the speakers, like a speaker. I don't know if it was me or what. No, it wasn't on the outside.
Oh, okay. I thought you heard
like you know how you got your phone on and then got your mic on. It was that kind of a thing. So I was trying I didn't know if one of us was on the phone or what. But, yeah, I'm glad you had some good time with your mom. That's good. She's getting ready to fix that dinner with all the potatoes?
She started on the pies and the dressing, because she works Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So she said, "Let me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, pies and dressing. And prep it, and then, you know, then she can put the pies in the oven next week," but she already got them filled, you know? So that's what she's
doing. All right. That's ahead of time. Go ahead, lady.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right. Cynthia, how was your week?
My week was good. It was productive, and it was a good week. I dare not complain. All is well. All is well. Now, what about yours?
That was quick.
You know, that's what I did. It was. There's nothing else to say other than that. It was a good week. No challenges, thank God. It was good stuff.
Yeah. I was going to get drink my coffee before I could say you, but that's it. And how was yours? I was like, okay. That was fast. That's good. My week was good. It was real good. I can't complain. Went to the doctor, got a good report, and know what I need to do. You know, I had a little blurry vision for a while, and couldn't find out it was just some little swelling in the back of my eyes. I was like, okay. Got that taken care of, and just really been studying and being trained a lot, and some topics that God want me to get more wisdom in, and been enjoying that. Just a good week, a good discovery, and nice conversations with people on connecting us to a lot of different things. I'm just sit back and watching it and saying, okay. I'm a team player, and I only take the ball when you give it to me, Lord. But right now, I'm just gonna watch you play this movie right in front of my face. So all is well. I can't complain about a thing on that end. So this is the week. I know you said all is well with you, Cynthia, but you're getting ready to go to Chicago.
Yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see my babies. I miss them. The older I guess it's the older I'm getting, the more I want to be in their presence. But we are thousands of miles away from each other. Keith is in Chicago, Brian's in L.A. But I'm excited. I can't wait to see them, and I'm just excited. Yeah. And I understand it's 20 degrees there today, so we'll see how that goes.
That is Chicago. Love Chicago. But it's cold. You better be ready. Be ready.
I'm ready.
If Brian coming?
That's yet to be known. We'll see. I pray that I see him, but you know that one. It's always one in the family that, you know, he's a daredevil. He waits to the last minute to try to get that ticket, and then it gets to the point where he can't afford it. But I learned something new this week. On the day of, if you call, if you don't have a ticket, you can probably get there for almost nothing. Because they're not, everybody's not where they need to be, and so they have a couple of planes. And my sister was telling me last year when they had anticipated on somebody coming, and they said they weren't coming because of the ticket. They called the day of, they got there for $59. So, mm-hmm. so hopefully he has been productive. But the last time I checked 3 weeks ago, have the ticket. So you know what? Let me just leave that alone so I don't get disappointed. So I already know what I'm working with. So I'm just leaving it. If I see him, good. If I don't, I'll be disappointed. But guess what? I'm gonna still be good. Because, you know, I've done my part. I send them the information. As soon as I booked my ticket, matter of fact, it was in the beginning of October when I booked my ticket, or September, and he had all the information. So now it comes down to choice. And like everything else in life, we got choice.
Well, maybe you have to go to L.A.
Well, you have to understand when you go to L.A., because he has roommates, you don't have those luxuries to stay with him. So, you know, mm-hmm. we got to go where we can get put up without having to spend a whole lot of money. And so you just got to do what you got to do and go where you can go to be comfortable and not have to worry about a whole lot of things that you have no control over. And so, yeah, so. Yeah, you know, he already knows. He knows what he needs to do. So all is well. We will see him if he's there.
Brad is my boy. You know, he'll do it. I love that boy. Okay.
Yeah, that's my baby. That's my baby. I'm anticipating him being there. But yeah. I ain't asking no questions. Sure. I ain't asking no questions. Surprise me. That's the thing right there. Just surprise me, boo.
Yeah. Someone asked us, what are you all doing next week for Thanksgiving? Nothing, but probably if we could go camping, that would be the greatest thing for me. But campsites are booked up. Other than that, I'm just going to sit around, have a meal, play some games, and laugh. Maybe go to the fire pit and sit out there for a while and do what we do. But other than that, that's about it.
That's what those holidays are all about, coming together with family. It's the simple things that we enjoy mm-hmm. the most. So those are good things that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We enjoy each other, small but mighty. So today, ladies, our topic is mothers and daughters. What are you thankful for? I was thinking, I was like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk about? Holy Spirit, what you want to talk about? I kept could get nothing. I was like, what in the world? Okay, Holy Spirit, what are we talking about? But he said, well, don't you think thankfulness is a great topic since we headed that way? I was like, well, that's good as any. So I'm like, okay, let's talk about that, because a lot of times we forget to say thank you. I mean, we can't say thank you for everything that happened, because a lot of things that happen in our lives that we don't recognize. You know, the angels are moving things out our way and the Holy Spirit is moving. But those that you recognize, always give thanks. So I'm going to let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say, and then I'll come back and pick you ladies up, okay?
Okay, we didn't do the prayer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Deborah. It's running my mouth. Go ahead, Deborah.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to say thank you. Thank you for waking us up. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And mm-hmm. since you did it, Lord, we want to take the opportunity to be the best version of ourselves that we can be this day, loving others as you have encouraged us to love others as ourselves, loving others in ways that we're not judging them because they don't line up to our measurements, loving others because they don't always do right, neither do we, loving others because others are who we are. Sometimes we see ourselves in them. Help us not be what you call us. Help us be what you call us to be, Lord, not measuring ourselves against other people, but what you say, Deborah, this is what you should be. Cynthia, this is what you should be. About to be, this is what we want to be, what you want us to be, Lord. And mm-hmm. we in this season of thankfulness, we thank you for allowing us to come on this morning and to be able to just let our head out and just talk about what we look forward to, what's happening in our lives, so other people can know that we're just like them. We have trials, we have good days, we have bad days, but more than anything, we have Jesus. And we thank you for your son that died on the cross for our sins, our dirty sins, Lord. Thank you for giving us what we need to be better at living and loving each other and loving you, God. We thank you for everything that you've done, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Whew. Yeah, that was good. That was powerful. Thank you, guys. I tell you, that's what we need. That's what make a team work together, because I was going right on, but got the prayer. All right, I'll be back in a minute. Pick you guys up. All right, mothers and daughters out here, I tell you, it is amazing. It is amazing. You know, when we talk about mothers and daughters, what are you thankful for? You can take out your phone and just start talking into your phone and recording and go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Sometimes when you're writing, you're writing and you get stuck because you're doing two things at one time. You're thinking and then processing it and then writing it down. And sometimes between the thinking and the processing and really putting what you thought you said and how you want to say it down on paper can make it very difficult. That's why a lot of people say they can't write a book, because it becomes very complex on getting the thought, processing the thought, and then writing it down in the same vein as if you was when you created the thought, or the thought was created in your head. Well, it's the same thing with being thankful. You know, sometimes when, if you ever, and I think everybody can relate to this, I do believe this in my heart and soul, we will ask God for something. And We'll come up with a bargain plan. God, if you do this, I promise you, I will take care of the homeless. I promise you, I'll go to church. I promise you, I will pray more. I promise you, and we make a lot of promises to bargain with God. But you know, God is not a man you can bargain with. He don't bargain. There's nothing you can promise him to get him to do something for you. He doesn't bargain. He doesn't change. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So that lets you know who I was yesterday. I am there, that same person today, Bessie. So you can offer me all the little things that you think that you got. It's not going to change what I said yesterday. You were already created in my thoughts yesterday, in the beginning. You were created with the plan and the objectives and the mission and the outcome and the pleasures that I wanted to get out of you. But yet, like I said last week, we mimic what we heard, what we've seen in local churches and groups, the way to pray, the way to beg God. And God is saying, if you're begging me, if you're trying to bribe me, then I can't be God. I'm a man that can be changed because you promised me that you're going to church every Sunday, that you're going to read your Bible more. And I changed what I said yesterday, then I am not God. If you tell me what I said yesterday, and you hold me to what I said yesterday, then that's what you're going to get today. Because I have not changed. So therefore, if you have faith in me and you know I am that I am, and I am what I said I am and who I said I am and what I said I am, because I'm all things. And if you believe that, then all you got to do is say, God, you said, and I thank you. You said, God, and I thank you. And in the thank you lies your faith. I'm going to say that again. In the thank you lies your faith. And these are lessons that God is really showing me that has adjusted me in so many different ways. Because I used to say things like that too. I said, Lord, if you give us so and so and so, then, you know, I'm going to make sure that I help this person. I'm going to give back to this, and we're going to do this. And God don't need you to help his people do nothing. He don't need you to help his people do anything because you can't create anything. He needs you to have faith in him. That's all God wants. Mark 11:24. Have faith in God. That's, Jesus made it very clear. And I keep telling people, those four words are the most important four words, and out of all of the words that's in the Bible, those four words, have faith in God. Because if the prophets did not and the apostles did not have faith in God, if Jesus didn't have faith in God, we wouldn't be reading about the miracles. We wouldn't be reading about their lives. And we wouldn't be reading about their testimonies. Because they trust God. Old Testament, God expected for you to do certain things for atonement. But he told you what to do. It wasn't that you could go out there and do, or it wasn't that you could tell God, I want you to do. He trusted that. You would do what he told you to do. But he also demonstrated that you had power. Even before Jesus came and gave us his power and authority, God showed us that he still allowed people to see. You have power. But the power that I give to you, I was talking to someone yesterday, and I was saying to them that, you know, when you think that you're the least of all of God's children. Sometimes, you know, people make you think you don't equal up, or you're not a part of our group, or, you know, we got this going on and we can't include you in it. And then when you go into certain groups, you feel like you don't have any clothes on, like you should just fold your arms in front and back and stand on the corner, because that's the way they make you feel. But are they making you feel that way, or is that the way that you're making yourself feel? Because if you believe in the word and the word said, you're made in my image, you'll never see God, Father, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, standing in a corner feeling naked. Because that's not power and authority. You will hold your head up and you will walk because I know who I am and I'm a child of God. People will change when you have your light shining, they will come. And I was telling him, I said, you know, it was just like Ezekiel walking by, minding his business, out in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden he ran across a ditch, and it was full of bones. Just bones. Can you imagine? You walk and you see a bunch of bones, you'd be like, what? Who destroyed all of these people? And God said to him, you think these bones, and I'm paraphrasing, do you think these bones can live? I don't know, God. Oh, but God, you know. He told him to speak to the bones and tell them to live. See, he listened, he followed the instructions. We need to follow instructions. Don't try to create anything. Don't try to add anything to it. He wasn't sure if the bones could live. I don't know, Father. He said, God, only you know. God said, okay, then speak to him. Tell him to live. Okay. You say to say it, I'm going to say it. Following instructions. He spoke to the bones. They started coming together. Can you imagine a valley of bones? And the bones start connecting back together. And then all of a sudden, there's the skeleton standing. And then there's muscles and veins and organs and all kinds of things coming together and making a body. And you standing there looking at that, that could scare somebody to death. But because God said it, he knew that it was true. And he says, you know what, God, if you say it and tell me to say it, that I'm going to say what you say, because my faith is in you. I've got faith in God. If you tell me to say it, I believe that it's true. And we got to get to that. And can you imagine Ezekiel probably saying to himself, thank you, God, for using me for such a time as this. See, God is always waiting to use us if we're just willing to believe him. But we got so much old stuff in our subconscious mind that when we hear the Holy Spirit say to you and remind you what God said, what comes up? That old stuff in your subconscious mind that you heard Cousin John say it in the church. You heard the deacon say it. Because they're all going back from what they heard. But what did God say? In order to get to thankfulness, you can only get to thankfulness is when you get to the Word of God. That's real thankfulness. When you say what God said and you see that thing work in your life, you can't help but say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now I want you to just stop and think for a moment. Something that stands out in your life. You didn't even know how you're going to get out. You didn't know how this thing was going to work. I mean, I'm talking about the worst case scenario. And you know, oh God, only you can do this for me. Only you can do it. I can't call the preacher. I can't call my best girlfriend. I can't call my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister. I can't call the man who says he's a healer. I have nowhere to go. Only you, God, can do this. And sometimes when we're in the midst of that, we do try to add a little bit on. Because I tell you, if you do it for me, God, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But see, Jesus already took care of that for us. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Same as say. He looks past what you just said and look at your heart, because now your heart is bleeding. Your heart is connected to his heart and you.
believe that nobody can do it but God, and he moves on that faith. God, nobody can do this but you. Nobody can do this but you. As the movie was, An Officer and a Gentleman, I often think about that when he says, I don't have nowhere else to go. I don't have nowhere else to go. And when God moves, and you see God move, and you know God moved, you can't say nothing but thank you, God. Sometimes you want to take off running. Thank you, God. You can't explain it to nobody. Not the way you feel about it. Not deep in your heart and your soul. You want to shout. You just can't tell it. You just want, you tell people this is what God has done, but you can never give it to them the way that you felt it when God and you connected and he moved. That's a personal thing between you and God. But you say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Nobody could do it but you. And then we live out of that thank you, if you got any sense at all. You want to do better. Even when you're challenged and the enemy try to come in and steal that feeling, that awareness, that knowledge, that truth, you have to fight. Say, no, you're a liar. God did it. It wasn't because I heard someone said something in a sermon. Oh, well, you heard so and so and so. Oh, you took that aspirin and that helped move that pain. No, God did it. God is in everything pertaining to me if you're a Christian. God is in it. God did it. Thank you, God. See, when he says I'm a jealous God, that means I don't want you to give thanks to nobody but me. I don't want you to think that anybody can do something for you other than me. I don't want you to think that someone else created some part of you. No one created you but me. That's all God wants from us. Because if he can get us to believe in him, he can work miracles on this earth. He could enjoy the screenplay that he created. You playing your role well. It's an Oscar-winning award play. And keep in mind, you're only here to play a part for a certain amount of time. And as the world evolves and turns, you're going to go with it, and you're going to be off the stage, and someone else is going to play their part. You're not on the stage of life for eternity. You're here playing a role, and there's an understudy just waiting on you to fall. You can fall if you want to. But there's an understudy. She's studied. She's ready. She knows your lines as good as you do. She know how to do that same emotional expressions and captivating tones of her words. So keep in mind, she's not you. She's herself, but greater is he that's in her and you than he that's in the world. You know, some play, we've seen a movie and it's played by an actor, especially when they go back and get those old movies. And then you come back with a new movie and somebody's, you know, they're redoing this old movie. But, you know, as good as this new person is, it's never as good as the one they did in 1939. You can never get in that same spot. But keep in mind, they play their role and they move on. This new one is just a reminder of something that has come through in the past. It's evolving. There's nothing new on the sun. It's just new players, new actors and actresses, new set designs, new technology as we evolved. So while you're here, give God thanks for the role that he wrote in this play of life for you. And know the only reason I'm here and the only reason I have this part is because God loved me. I often think, God, I can just only imagine as you were sitting and creating, you thought of Bessie. You said, I'm going to create Bessie. And Bessie is going to be in this point in time of my creation. And this is her assignment, should she decide to take it. And I'm going to create that to connect to this, that connects to that, connects to this. And all of that's going to give me my pleasure, as I said. But that was a thought in his mind. You cannot create something without thinking about it. Thinking about it. You will own God's mind, God's mind, and you're still there. What are you doing to say, thank you, God, for thinking about me? I often say, thank you, God, because you didn't have to create me, but you did. And I thank you. You didn't have to create me. And I like my creation. See, we got to get to the point where we like our creation. I like my creation. I like the way I look. I like the human being that I am. And I thank him every day. I say, thank you, God. We have to learn to love ourselves. Until you learn to love yourself, you won't like the way you look. You will criticize God's work. I did it. Didn't like my nose, didn't like my eyes, didn't like my legs. The things that people compliment me the most on, because the enemy wanted me to think, oh, you know, you're not this or you're not that, and you're not pretty and you're not all that. But once I fell in love with me, I saw God's beauty. I don't wait on people to compliment me. You ain't got to compliment me. I don't need your compliments. Okay to say somebody, oh, that's a nice looking dress. You know, I'm not talking about that. But I'm not waiting on you to tell me I have beauty. I'm not waiting on you to tell me that God created me beautiful, because I know this. No one else know this but me and God. And no one will know it for you but you and God. Until you get to that and know how he created you and the thoughts and the emotions and the love that he was in, this the spirit of it, as he was creating you in his mind, you should be able to say nothing but thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so that's what I want, mothers and daughters, I want you to think about. Not the little frivolous thank you. Oh, thank you for the food. Thank you, God, for this, for the car. Thank you. No. Thank you, God, for creating me. Let's go deep. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for doing that miracle in my life that nobody else could have done. Let's go there. Thank you, God. That's when he know that you know. That he knows that you know that he knows that you know him. And you got to say, thank you, God. Woo, glory to God. All right. Let's go here. Deborah, what's your take?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say, I could just go on for hours, but it's for the sake of time, I just want to say thank God for not giving up on me time and time and time again. And there's a song by Leandra Johnson, and she says, deliver me from me, God, because I keep wrecking ship. I keep finding myself doing things that you say thou shalt not. And I finally came to the terms that it wasn't external that I needed to be praying for. It was internal, into me, see. And, Lord, I say I thank you for allowing me to come to that revelation that it's into me, see. You know, what is it on the inside that he could do to make me a better person to serve him? So I thank him for giving me that revelation. Thank him for giving me the opportunity to grow in Christ, to grow in my relationship with him, to see where I was missing the mark. And I thank him for all the many things, like you say, miracles that you know only God could have done. And I tell you, I just went to a celebration last night. It was recovery. They have it once a year, and the people in there were celebrating, and they do a countdown on clean time. And that was two ladies had 35 years of sobriety. And I said, God will keep those who want to be kept. He said that if you're serious about living a life, whatever the life is, there's nothing impossible with me. And I just was thanking him for all the people that was ahead of me that can show me that it can be done, that you can have a life that you don't need, for me, mind-altering substance to feel good about me. Like you say, I don't need nobody to come tell me I was beautiful. I didn't need nobody to come tell me I was gifted. It's a bonus, but God, I would say I made you fearfully and wonderfully in my, and I said, I thank you, Lord. Because I got to complain about this, the nose flat, the toes ugly. Come on, God. But I came to realize that I love all of me. Whatever it is that I want him to fix before, I just love all of me now. And I thank him for bringing me to the point of saying, you know, God, if you made it like this, it's wonderful. That's what your words say. And help me walk in it and not be fixed on this or that, but just live a life that's pleasing to something. And I thank you that I'm there, because spirit of vanity had me for many, many years. Many, many years had me. But I go out sometime with a shirt that ain't quite matching or wrinkled. But that would never have been the case back in the day. But I thank God that it's into me, see, that I'm trying to keep the heart. He said, I look at the heart, not the outside. And so I said, Lord, okay, into me, see. Anything in there that's not like you, I give you permission to eradicate it. But that was that was a process. I had to get there. And I just thank him, because I'm working on the internal things, not external. And it was a journey. And I'm excited that I arrived. Opportunity to show me, not the person next to me, not my neighbor, not anybody else in. Show me, God. Because when I got to stand up there and give account of what I did with this life on earth, it ain't going to be nobody but me. Show me. Help me deliver me from me. Into me, see, God, intimacy. And I'm just thanking him, because I know there's a time I wouldn't go out the house with dirt on my shoe. There's a time I wouldn't go out with my wig all twisted. And not to say I don't put no pride in it, but it ain't my number one thing. It used to be, if it didn't look good, it wasn't going out. Wasn't going to church. If it wasn't right, yeah, deliver me. So I thank him for that, and thank him for family and friends like you all that love me right where I'm at and encourage me and call me on things that you need to call me on so I could get in position. And that's what God says. Hey, you the next. How you going to tell the feet? You don't need them. How you going to tell the ankle? I don't need you. We all members of the body. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to this place where I need to be in my spiritual walk. Glory to God. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, God. Woo. I felt that. And you see how much deeper this is than that. You know, I mean, thank you for paying the light bill, and you know what I'm saying?
He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink. You don't worry about that stuff, so you ain't got to worry about thanking him about that because he said, I already took care of that. All he wants you to do is bring your heart. Bring your heart. And when you get that, you really now are having an intimate relationship with God. What do you say? Intimacy. I like that. Thank you, Deborah.
Amen.
Whew, praise God. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit up in here. Good morning, Cynthia. Okay, we're back.
Good morning. Deborah, with that, we can pass the collection plate. Good stuff, ladies. Good stuff. I'm telling you, Dr. Fletcher, you know, it's not, you know, like you said, to give thanks because scripture tells us to give thanks in all things. He didn't say give thanks for all things. He said give thanks in all circumstances. Thessalonians 5:18. He said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's what we don't know. And so when we are tempted by Satan in life circumstances, because you know all negative consequences, it's influenced by the enemy. There's only two forces in the world, good and bad. That's when we need to know God's word, because when he tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, he simply said, no, it is written. It is written. And then the same thing that you said, Dr. Fletcher, go offer God some what we going to do if he do this. Now, you can't give me what is already mine. God has already given it to me. So how you going to offer me something that ain't even yours? And, you know, that's how the enemy tricks us, and that's when the begging and all of the begging, if you will, and the pleading, if you will, because we're anxious for whatever it is that we're anxious about. And God says be anxious for nothing. In Philippians 4:6-8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind so you're not succumbing to the enemy's influence of begging God for nothing, because we ain't got to beg him for nothing, because it is written. It is written. And when we get that, mothers and daughters, we going to stand on the word when life happens, so we don't have to be anxious and start begging God to do something that you can't change his mind anyway. The only thing that will change his mind is he changes mind. Because I'm thinking about Hezekiah when he turned his back to the wall and started reminding God of the things that he had done. And God told the prophet to go back and tell him, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. God, faith moves God. Begging and pleading don't move him. So he knew that Hezekiah had faith in him. And in that moment, we get weak when life happens. And that's when we start begging and pleading or this and that. But God has given us instructions what to do when we're tempted by the enemy. It is written. And if we can get to that, we will have that relationship that God will have us to have, and we will be thankful in every circumstances, not for every circumstance, but in every circumstances, we will be thankful when we learn to have the proper perspective about what's going on, because we already know who's behind the crazy. The enemy tries to come to steal your faith. And when life happens, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you to turn you back to God, to do the so he can get the credit. But now, all credit goes to God for everything. Every prayer answered, every good thing comes from him. And it is written that all good things come from him. And so when we get to that, ladies, we're going to be okay, because we're going to have the right perspective, and we can be thankful in all things, mothers and daughters, when we just simply do what God tells us to do. When he comes at you, when you're tempted, it is written. It is written. It is written. That's I'm moving in that direction. I ain't saying nothing other than it is written. Period. End of story. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right. Amen. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. I tell you, when I say Holy Spirit, I release myself to you.
I never know what he's going to talk about. I just like, okay, what are we talking about? He said, well, you know, hey, what about being thankful? He said, you know, it's that time of season. And I wrote it down. And, you know, as usual, you're thinking about your usual thank you. But when you release yourself to the Holy Spirit, he took a whole different turn. He said, no, I'm going to take it deep. We're going to go deep. I ain't thought about none of that before I started talking. Because usually when I'm talking, or I say this, when I release myself to the Holy Spirit, my eyes are closed as my mouth is moving. I sit and my eyes are always closed because I'm released. But for the past maybe 4 weeks, what I've been studying, and God would tell me, there's no reason for you to worry about anything. You just got to believe me. You just got to stop and look at what I said. So I was looking at all the promises. And then, you know, we talked about that last week. But there's certain promises that goes with certain things. You can't just read all promises for all things. You know, if it's sickness, what did he say about sickness? If it's financials that you need, what did he say? Pull up what I said about it and remind me. And it's not that he doesn't know. It's that when you say God, you say it, it elevates your faith in saying it to God. Because in order for you to say it to God, you got to believe that he said it. He's not dumb. He's not forgetful. He knows exactly what he said. But he said, remind me. Because, you know, when you speak the words, it's going to speak to you. But then I'm listening to Pastor Gregory Dickow. And he started teaching me on it is written. Everything that the enemy comes after you, he said, all you got to do, you're made in my image, is mimic what I've already said. If Jesus said it, God said it to Jesus. If Jesus did it, God told him to do it. So if Jesus told Satan, it is written, you cannot tempt the Lord thy God. We're made in his image. You are the Lord thy God. But when you tell Satan it is written, he flees from you. Because see, he don't want you to know that you can say it in that same manner. When you stop believing it. So when I get up in the morning, when I open my eyes, as Pastor DeKalb says, the first thing you should say, because everything started from the beginning with the word. And it was the word of God. And those words was written. So when you get up in the morning, you say, it was written that by his stripes I'm healed. It was written that Jesus became poor on the cross so that I could become rich. It was written that his blood was shed, that I'm protected. It was written that I'm made in his image. And you just say, it was written, and it was written, and it was written, and it was written. And that's what I do in the morning, 5 o'clock, when I wake up, 5:30, whatever my alarm clock goes off. I just start saying, it was written. Prepare your day, because that's the beginning of the day. Prepare your day with the word of God. And with what is written, because what is written is what Satan knows he cannot touch. That's your protection. And that's when you say, thank you, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit for reminding me what is written. Because Jesus said, he will remind you of what God said. Ladies, it's a great show. I hate to go, but it's our time is up.
Amen.
God. That was good, y'all. I'm telling you. Oh, my God. I the preacher used to say, I preach my own self happy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I preach my own self happy, and y'all just put the icing on top of the cake. Thank you, ladies. I do truly appreciate you all. I wouldn't want to do this show with anybody else but y'all. So thank you, God. And I just thank him. Right now, Father God, I thank you. Cynthia and Deborah, I thank you, Father God, for selecting us. You know exactly what you was doing from the beginning of time. And here we are. And hopefully, Father God, our role is to bring you pleasure. That's it. I hope you got pleasure out of this today. Because I surely did.
All right, I'll be right back. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies. Great show. God be the glory, and I'm sure we'll talk somewhere between now and the great feast.
Amen.
All right.
All right. Love you, ladies. Y'all have an amazing day.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, mothers and daughters.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye,
happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bye.